I'm sure that many of you remember the legendary singer Frank Sinatra and his famous song, My Way.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know that's him and his songs. Portion of the lyric says, and more, much more than this. What did it say?
I did it my way.
All right, it sounds tough and macho to do everything my way. But at what cost?
That's right.
At whose cost? In other words, that person in the song was selfish. This might be acceptable to an unbelieving world, but not as the followers of Jesus Christ. We are not here to do everything according to our ways, rather God's ways. We are the servants of Jesus Christ. We are servants to one another. We are supposed to serve one another. If we can love, we can have our ways all the time. I tell you one thing for sure, we will destroy each other rather quickly, and if not ourselves. The reason why I'm saying that is because Jesus said that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, please keep your finger on the book of Numbers, go to Matthew chapter 7, 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and the broad is the way that leads to the destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Now, we are at the people of Israelite is at the juncture. And you will see the bottom portion here, Kadesh Barnea. That's they are literally standing at the door to the promised land. And they forfeit themselves. They forfeit the opportunity to go into the enter into the promised land and claim their inheritance. I strongly believe that what we can learn from the chapter 13 and the 14 of Book of Numbers would apply to all of us, reminding us today that it is dangerous things to trifle with the will of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Do not trifle with the will of God. Because we may end up spending the rest of our lives wandering around just waiting to die. Do you know why they spent 37 years? Because everybody had to die, and 20 years old or over had to die, and they're waiting for the last person to die. How would you like to be the last person to die? And everybody's looking at them, why don't you die now? I know that some of the Christians think that the idea of a promised land is like going into heaven. I do not believe that. I strongly disagree because in heaven there is no fight. When they went into the promised land, there was a fight, one fight after another. So the Canaan, the land of promised land, is a picture of the inheritance God has planned for each of his children today. The work that he wants us to do and the place he wants us to occupy, not same kind of occupy movement as they have. Yes, the Lord our God has a perfect plan for each one of us. But it's up to us to take that plan by faith in him and with obedience to his commandment.
Yes.
Without those two, we cannot claim the inheritance. Let's stop and pray. Father, some people say Old Testament is not relevant to 21st century lives. How little they know. We can learn so much from these two chapters, from the book of Numbers, one of the oldest books in the Bible. Father, speak to our heart. Let our hearts be open to receive your truth without any resistance, without any hindrance from our heart. If there's anything that hinders our relationship between you and us, let it be gone by reminding us so that we may repent from it. Speak to us tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 13, verse 1, please. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one leaders among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, and all of them men who were the head of the children of Israel. To truly understand what's going on here behind the scene of the chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, we have to go to the referring verses that mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. Go there, please. A couple of books, no, one book to the right side. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. And every one of you came near to me. Everyone, who are they? The Israelites. And came to me, that would be Moses, and said, let us send a man before us, and let them search out the land for us, and bring back the word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan, notice, the plan pleased me well. So I took the 12 of your men and one from each tribe. Israelites wanted to know what's ahead of them. Mm-hmm. Like you don't, right? You all want to know, I want to know. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to do that. That's the reason why the horoscope is such a big deal. That's why the 1-900 psychic is such a big deal. People, this Israeli people, talked to Moses into this idea. Mm-hmm. So it pleased me well. Mm-hmm. So what the Israeli did is they came to Moses and talked him into it, and Moses and the Israeli people talked to God. And God said, all right, if you want your way, have it your way. We're going to talk about that. So yet many times from the Lord and the Lord God provided them food and water in the desert, in the wilderness, for the last 2 years. And God already told them what's ahead. Mm-hmm. But instead of listening to God, they rather hear from the other people's mouth. In other words, okay, I know what God said, but, remember but? Mm-hmm. What did I say about Bud? It canceled everything that before. So they are going for that idea, but in my opinion, this request is filled with a doubt rather than wonder and excitement. Mm-hmm. Are you with me on that?
Yes. Yeah.
The Lord had promised the land is to the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. The land is given to them. All they have to do is just listen to him, obey him, walk right into it. Mm-hmm. And God is the one who would fight for them. The Lord was letting them have their own way, not because their way is better than God's way, mm-hmm. certainly not. But since they insist their way, okay, you can have your way. There's a verse, you guys know this by heart. Goes against that. And probably one of the verses you memorize at the beginning of your Christian walk. Proverbs 3:5-6. Go there, please. In case you don't know, this is something you should memorize if you haven't memorized. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Remember what I taught you guys many times before. The worst God can do for us is allowing us to have our way to face our own consequences. That's why we can destroy ourselves very, very well. He doesn't even have to help us. He doesn't even allow the Satan to come to us. We can do it all by ourselves without any problem. Now go down to the verse 26 of chapter 13, please. Now that they departed, came back, the 12 spies, and to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at the Kadesh. they brought back the word to them, to the all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them and said, "We went to the land there where you sent us. It truly flowed with the milk and honey, and it is its fruit. This is its fruit." Note that, verse 28, what does it say? Nevertheless, or but, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Who asked for that opinion?
Mm-hmm.
And the cities are fortified with a very large. Moreover, we saw the descendant of Anak there. And Malachi dwelt in the land of the south, and Hittite and Jebusite and Amorite dwelt in the mountain, and the Canaanite dwelt in the sea along the bank of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before the Moses and said, "Let us go up at once to take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up and with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying that the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devoured its inhabitants. And all the people to whom we saw in it are men of a great stature. Get this, verse 33 is very important. Then, there we saw the giant, the descendant of Anak, came from the giant. We were like a grasshopper in whose sight?
Our own
sight and their sight. And what about God? Where is the equation? God in this equation? Non-existing. 12 spies traveled about 500 miles in 40 days. And I guess it's kind of a reconnaissance mission.
Mm-hmm.
In the conventional military idea, gathering intelligence is very, very important. This is a great idea. But it was a total waste of time in spiritual sense.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why? Because God already told them. They have not brought anything that is not was told to them by God. This recommission is... I'm sorry, I didn't put that on since I got excited. God already told them. All they had to do was trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 12 spies, only two of them saw the land from God's point of view, but the rest of them didn't. That's why it is so important for us to see everything from the God's point of view rather than our own point of view.
Mm-hmm.
There was where they failed. And there, that is where many Christians fail. Just like these 10 spies, we often add our own editorial opinion. Even though God did never ask for it.
Yeah.
We try to insert, I know what Bible says, but...
That's right.
What would it matter for them if all the pagan nations already have a 21st century weapons? For example, Tomahawk missile from Raytheon that Bill made. Bill made, not make.
Mm-hmm. I still make it.
She made
it. Oh, yeah, she still made it. And F-35, the stealth jet fighter, or the M1A1, the Abraham tank, against the homemade spear or the slingshot. What the problem they see is that they're trying to look at everything from the human perspective,
right,
horizontally.
Right.
While instead looking to God and asking God to help. Go to Romans 8:31, please. This second portion of Romans 8:31. Again, probably you guys know this by heart. If not, it's a great thing to memorize. If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? That's right. Listen, it does not matter whether America, led by the Obama administration, stand with Israel or not. According to Ron Paul, he will desert Israel in no time. It really doesn't matter because Israel has its own protector. God Almighty.
That's right.
That's His promise to that nation.
Yeah.
And it is America's problem that we are deserting that country.
Mm-hmm.
There are four things that I can think of in my heart that hinders our faith in the Lord. Four things. Number one is a doubt. Number one is a doubt. It is a serious and a disrespectful challenge to our God's faithfulness for us. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
And when we doubt the Lord, we are doubting His promises to us as well as His character. In my opinion, it is the ultimate insult to Him. It's saying, in other words, we are saying, you are a liar. We may not say that, but I don't trust God, so I'm going to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what the Frank Sinatra said?
Mm-hmm.
Much more than this, I did it my way. Second thing I see the hindrance is forgetfulness. It has nothing to do with living near the Green Valley or inside the Green Valley. But it's intentional, note that word, intentional forgetfulness to our God's faithfulness and what He had done for us previously.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I recommend you many times, you need to have a prayer journal that shows praise report.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have doubt creep into your mind, go back, see how faithful your God was. Look at His track record. Our forgetfulness works hand in hand with the doubt to remove any memory of His faithfulness from our hearts.
Mm.
Isn't it normal, isn't it true for us to remember when God says no, we remember that, but when God says yes, He even grants our desire,
mm-hmm.
and somehow we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Israelites, they don't remember all the food they had, all the water they had in the middle of the desert. Somehow God supernaturally brought them, but they don't remember that, but they remember leeks and onions and garlic and they had in slavery. Third hindrance is assumption. Assumption. For some crazy and dumb reason, we tend to think that we know better than the Lord. Don't look at me like you never think that way. Okay? And we assume that He should do the things according to what we want and when we want, preferably now.
Yeah.
Where do I find it? Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. Please. Chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and all the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and the children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us elect a leader and return to Egypt. You know, the unbelief of 10 spies is reflecting the unbelief of the entire congregation, entire nation. Israel wept that night, hearing the enemies is formidable. So formidable that the God of Israel could not even handle them. Really. The biggest superpower at the time was the Egyptian army. What did God do when they crossed? After they crossed, the Israelites crossed the Red Sea,
mm-hmm.
when the Egyptian was coming following right hot off the trail,
mm-hmm.
He destroyed them. There was not a one survivor. They could not record a survival series after that.
Yeah.
See, what happened is here is they choose to forget, intentionally forget what God did for them. We often expect of that of God. It's not just that we, too, resent adversity in our lives, forgetting the example of Jesus who had gone through much worse than we can possibly imagine. When the child of God, when the child of God is in the will of God, there is no place for complaining. You follow that?
Yes.
When the child of God is in the will of God, there's no place for the complaining. Even if the circumstances are different, are difficult, the will of God will never lead us where the grace of God cannot provide for us and the power of God cannot protect us.
That's right.
If our daily prayer is, Your will be done, and if we walk in obedience to God's will, then what is there to complain about? He promised that He will meet all our greed, right?
No.
That's what somehow the people expect, greed. The problem we have an empty heart is because God may not meet my greed. Isn't that true? God, we may not get what we want, so that's why we worry. Somehow we think that we know better than Him. Assumption. There it is. Philip, again, keep your finger right there and go to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go there, I need to talk about this. Sorry. A complaining spirit is evidence of an ungrateful heart. An unsurrendered will. I think that's a very good expression, a good way to say it. By our grumbling, we dare to say we know more than God does about what's best for His people. Now go to Philippians 2:14. Do all things without what?
Complaining
and disputing. That's right. Now back to chapter 14, verse 9. Do you know some of us are chronic complainers, chronic whiner?
Yeah.
Are you?
Seems like it, yeah. Don't say anything, Ben.
Hey, Bill, if we make you feel better,
yeah.
Rest of us are. We just don't honestly enough to raise our hands. Verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. In our term, they are our lunch. Right? Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Contrary to their assumed fear, what Joshua and Caleb told Israelites remind me of this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in Ephesians chapter 6, and you guys know where I'm going, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Levity, what did you do with my Ephesians?
I got it right here.
Okay. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen. The believers of Jesus Christ do not fight for the victory. Rather, we fight from the victory. Because the victory has been won on the cross. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Alright. Now back to chapter 14. By the way, Kenneth Copeland and the word that people... They said, well, victory was not won on the cross. They said it has been won in hell. That's a blasphemy, in my opinion. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Verse 12, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might, you brought these people up from among them. Go down to verse 15. Now, if you kill these people as one man, and then the nations which have heard of your name will speak, saying, because the Lord has not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Moses has done that. What Israel, remember that when the Israelites worshipped the golden calf?
Yes.
And God said this, mm-hmm. God offered this already once.
Mm-hmm.
Let me wipe them out. I will start the new nation out of your loin.
Mm-hmm.
And God, Moses said, please don't. Cool down, God. Take a chill pill. And we can work this out. Let me pray for these people. And he interceded for them. Second time, God offered that, but as a good leader would do, and he said no. But what he really concerned about was not them. Rather, he was concerned about the glory of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, Moses was reminding God, wiping out the Israeli people who hindered his glory. And secondly, Moses was reminding God that you gave the word to the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you wipe them out, you cannot fulfill your promise. You cannot go back to your own word. Moses was more concerned about God's glory and his name than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, he could be, I mean, what a great opportunity. If he was a man,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be the patriarch of the nation, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they will be all down the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is the patriarch, but he was not concerned about his status. Yes, Rambo?
It was like God was testing Moses.
Of course. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Moses' intercession brings a very important point to us. Did Moses change the mind of God with his prayer? Somehow we can think that Moses calmed down God's anger against Israelites. That's not the case. Who did inspire Moses to pray? The Lord. As he does all the prayers that are done according to his will. So if you pray according to his will, it is him who inspired the prayer. God's response here showed a great deal about his holiness and grace.
Mm-hmm.
His holiness to judge people, wipe them out. At the same time, his grace to take the people into the promised land. How is he going to do that? He's going to do it. Before we go there, you need to listen to this. Our prayer don't change the heart of God. Rather, since he knew what we are going to pray to him before the creation of the universe, he chose to use our prayer as a channel by which to pour out his grace and blessing to those who need, and at the same time, he built our faith in him stronger than ever before. Am I making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
He is using that difficult situation for us to pray so that he can answer our prayer. Now let's go down to the verse 28. Now we find the death sentence to the rebels. Say to them, God speaking to Moses, to the Israelites, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have the complaint against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who are numbered, according to the, your entire number, from 20 years old and above. Can you just imagine? Some guy said, aha, I'm not 20 yet, but you're going to be dead. Down to verse 31. But your little one, whom you said would be a victim, I will bring it in. That's the grace. See that? Now we just saw the holiness, and now we see the grace. And they shall know the land which you have despised. Verse 34. According to the numbers of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years. You shall know my rejection. Verse 36. Now the man from the Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died with the plague before the Lord. Now I find the three judgment fold. Number one. Did you get that? I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, that's not here. That's not for the slide, sorry. The nation would wander in the wilderness for another 38 years to fulfill their 40 years for 40 each, 1 day for each year. Mm-hmm. During that time, all the generation, anyone who is over 20 years old will be dead, and the younger one will go into the promised land. And the 10 unbelieving spies died immediately with the disease. Now, Jews had lamented that they wanted to die in the wilderness, verse 2. So God said, you want to die here? Okay, granted. You can die here. Out of their own mouths, God passed the judgment. So we need to be careful what we say to God when we complain. You hear me?
Yes.
We need to be careful what we say when we complain to God. Because He might pick us up on that. And, you know, sometimes we say, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm so poor as the one. And God will say, okay, you want to be poor? That's fine, I will make you poor. Now, the 40 years, the next 38 years, Moses led the longest funeral march in the world history. Think about it. Caleb and Joshua, the only generation, the same generation, only two people, even the Moses and Aaron could not enter into the promised land. Two people out of the 2 million. One in a million odd. And they're watching every one of them dying. Think about it. Probably the wind swept the hills and filled with the grave in the wilderness. And each one of them reminds them, we complain against God, this is the result. It's like for us, we're living in the wilderness of the world. It's a difficult world. Each day we can hold on to the blessed hope that Jesus is coming back soon. Someday we're going to enter into heaven. Place there is no more tears, no more disease, no more darkness, no more shadow. And we will worship. Like what we did at the beginning of the worship is nothing to compare with what we will do in heaven.
Amen.
I told you about the four things. Number one, four hindrances, right? First one was what? Doubt. Second one is? Forgetfulness. You guys already forget that? Get it? Third thing is assumption. Fourth thing is presumption. Verse 39. Then the Moses told this word to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now crying. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top to the top of the mountain, saying, Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, and for we have sinned. Verse 41. And Moses said, and now why do you transgress command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. But they presume, note that word, presume.
Yep.
They did it their way.
Huh?
They did it their way.
Yeah, they did it their way. You might want to note the original Greek word, Hebrew word has a notation. There is a with the pride.
Mm.
Presume is with the pride. But they presume to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of Covenant of the Lord nor the Moses departed from the camp. Then Malachite and Canaanite who dwell in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Horma. You see, the Israelites thought that they could make it better with a few religious work and words.
Mm-hmm.
But their heart was not changed. They made a futile attempt in the flesh to accomplish what they rejected by faith. You get that?
Yep.
Yes.
They tried to make it up with the flesh when they rejected in their heart. It ends in defeat. Whenever we try to do things in the flesh without God, we fail. Remember what Jesus said in chapter 15? Without me, you can do nothing. When our eyes are on ourselves and our circumstances, we lose godly perspective that comes from the Lord, and we say and do ridiculous things that we are going to regret later. Listen, admitting sin is not the same as confessing sin and turning to the Lord to seek His mercy.
Amen.
Admitting sin, they said we have sinned, just like that's the exact word that Bill Clinton used.
Yeah.
After he lied through his teeth, and when he was caught with it, he could not corner. He was in the corner. He could not back up anymore. He said, okay, I have sinned. Admitting sin is not the same as repenting. In other words, remorsing is not same as repenting.
Yeah.
Repenting is turning away from our sins. Two applications. Number one, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And our God tests our faith to help us make sure it is genuine and to help us help make it grow in us. It's like a steel. You cannot expect the steel to be strong unless you hammer it and put it in the cold water, put in the oil, then hammer again and put in the blaze. The more you get pounded, the stronger you get. We need to be careful what we say to God when we complain. Best not to complain, but if you should you complain, because he may take us up on it. Bummer, right? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, help us remove doubt, intentional forgetfulness, assumption, and presumption from our heart. Let us have a simple trust, simple faith in you, and obedience in our hearts. It may go against our grain, our carnal grain, yet we know that you do everything for our best. Let us lean on you more than ever before. Teach us how to walk, how to run, how to fly. With the strength that comes from you alone, that we will not be weary, we will not be tired. Because we fly under the wings of you and under the shadow of your wings. That is in Jesus' name. Amen.